Welcome to Animation Damnation, loyal Patreon subscriber, and welcome to a very special episode as we talk about probably one of the best cartoons ever made, Batman the Animated Series. The episode in question, Almost Got Him, original air date November the 10th, 1992.
Yeah, man. This is like one of my favorite things ever. Things.
Really?
Just things.
Of all time. This
property is just the best. I mean, including Eric, I will one day win a bet or somehow trick you into seeing Mask of the Phantasm. I just need to know what you think about it.
What's your opposition to it?
It's animated.
It's an animated film, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Like this boob.
I mean, and then this is actually a big blind spot for me, too, because I've only seen maybe 5 episodes of this show.
Wow, really?
Including this episode I had never seen before until today.
This is like when we announced we were doing this, everybody was like, I sure hope it's Almost Got Him.
Yeah, it was either this or the Mr. Freeze episode, Heart of Ice.
And I was just like, Tom and Jerry, guys. Come on. Tom and Jerry.
This episode, of course, is the big famous one in where a bunch of Batman's rogues gallery are sitting around a poker table talking about the time in which they almost got him. They almost captured Batman.
Or killed him. This episode goes there, right?
Oh, like, yeah. It's all about murdering that fucking guy.
Exactly.
Well, this show has no problem with death.
Oh, yeah.
Murder. I mean, people are dying all the time on this show.
Does Batman kill on this show?
No, he doesn't. No. It's very much a Batman don't kill. It's not. It is inspired by the Burton movies, but not that much where Batman's like literally murdering everyone, right?
It's always hard to gauge. Like every single time, even like a new Batman comes out, the Ben Affleck or whoever, you're just okay, now let's see. Batman kill. Killing people on this one.
I think probably the closest they come are the Nolan movies to following that rule.
Yeah, that bullshit, I don't need to save you. No, you're killing that dude. You fucking cut the brakes on a train that is about to crash leave a guy in there.
Well, hey, it's not my fault he didn't bring wings like I did.
Exactly right, dude. Potato, potato, Steve, is two different things.
Yeah,
entirely.
And it's the same thing with putting the bomb on that guy's chest.
Oh, God, in Batman Returns, that fat guy blowed up.
It's his fault. He let the bomb stay there.
But that Bruce Wayne has a rubber boner when he does. Like, oh man, I blew somebody up.
That's gotta hurt, right?
Where the rubber boner?
Yeah, you're getting a boner hitting fucking rubber.
I think that's right. I think he's got to tape it down.
Tape
it
down.
Sure.
Yeah, but dude, sometimes like in this cartoon, for instance, Poison Ivy's coming up there. Maybe it's like fucking. That's probably even really hurting too, because like not only are you getting the clang against the cod piece.
Sure.
You're also getting like pulling the tape off really fast.
Oh, wow. And then the leg hair comes off too.
Exactly. Ooh. Fucking pure high city, hair. Dude.
Also, he's a 30, 40 year old man here.
Yeah.
It's warm in that suit. Those balls are sagging down. Right. Hitting the thigh about 12 of them.
He needs to have like a summer version of his outfit.
This is just holes in it, kind of thing. It's ventilation.
Oh, it's something to breathe down there.
The
man.
Leather's perforated. You know, it's all a bunch of holes.
So we're playing poker in some warehouse or something. Not only is it's not an abandoned like you'd think.
No, this is public.
You would think that they would go to like the Penguins got a hideout and no one else is there.
They're at like a card hall.
Well, it's not even like it's kind of. I gifted myself the Blu-ray.
Nice.
Of these.
Yeah,
And I watched it with the director's commentary on this one, so I have two points about that.
Okay. Eric Radomski, man, the guy's a genius.
Yes.
Written by Paul Dini, by the way.
And he was like the big writer of the show.
Dude's the man.
If you look in the background, like there's really not a background. It's all super expressionistic nothingness.
Absolutely.
So it really does add to this like feeling that they're not really anywhere. They're just like talking to each other about this thing they hate.
Yes.
The original ending was the devil came out and is like, welcome. Dale, gentlemen and lady.
It's like it was written by Ibsen or something, honestly.
This could be so great. Dr. Mabuza or something.
Yes, dude.
Very no-exit-y.
So they're all playing. It's the Joker, the Penguin, Two-Face, and Killer Croc. And then Poison Ivy shows up.
Right.
And she's wearing a fun hat.
Yeah, so that's her like night out on the town hat. She's like, I'm not doing a scam of any kind tonight. I'm just going out with the boys to play some cards.
By the way, in this multiverse we're building, where like we're gonna have like 12 Batman movies. There's gonna be one about the Penguin and one about the who knows when the Joker. 5 about the Joker.
Sure,
I want a John Cassavetes-esque movie about Poison Ivy and Harvey Dent's like
love
romance.
Oh yeah, dude.
Because it
just
sounds
at each other.
It sounds like they really went there, and she was probably hitting on Seymour Cassell, and just it was a bad time.
The voice acting in this show is fucking terrific.
Absolutely,
we've done however many Animation Damnations, and I've never said that. Because
it's always terrible, and it's always just like third tier Canadians.
But Richard Mull as Two-Face is so fucking great.
It's you forget that it's Richard Mull too, man.
Bull from Night Court, where he's like, I don't know if I want to hit you with. He's like, I want to flip a coin to find out if I want to hit you with a truck or fucking cut your head off or some crazy shit. And I'm like, whoa, Two-Face, whoa.
It's great, man.
That might directly be from Killing of a Chinese Book.
And obviously we have Mark Hamill as the Joker, which is fantastic.
Best Joker, by the way.
So I guess we should go through the almost Gothams, right? So the first up is Poison Ivy
herself. I appreciate this. It's very Spider-Man right here.
Yeah.
Exploding pumpkins.
Well, she's like, oh, I rigged this pumpkin patch with poison ivy gas. I'm like, wait, like literal poison ivy gas? Like, is everyone going to have like itchy shit or are they going to die?
She's like, no, stupid. It's a trademark. Of course they're going to die.
Heavy rashes. That's it. This is, by the way, the other commentary thing.
Okay.
So they're talking about this scene. You get a shot of her in a dress and without shoes. And he's like, oh, bare feet, huh? Couldn't make that much sexier.
What?
Wow.
Oh, my God. I need to hear this now.
Wait, Eric Radomski, the director of the episode,
says forget
this?
Who was.
It might have been Paul Dini. I've gotten some vibes from Paul
Dini.
It
was something about the animation, because it's only three guys talking. I forget who it is. Yeah. But like one of them is like, yeah, couldn't get much hotter than that there, fellas.
I mean, the people drawing the Batman cartoon liked sexy ladies.
Of course they did.
It's very obvious in this episode specifically.
But it's what also adds to how awesome this show was and still is, because when you look at it, if you just look real quick, it's like, okay, yeah, it's a kid's cartoon. Yeah. It's Batman, blah, blah, blah. But if you really start watching this show, it's for adults.
There's a lot of feet.
That's a lot of feet. That's a lot of feet. That almost got the feet. That was the first title of it.
It's a quote on the Blu-ray box, actually.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, no.
No, it's fucking great because, like, the whole thing, am I remembering this right? Like, there's a truck that runs into a pole or something, and she's thwarted right here by Batman.
He calls up the fucking Batmobile.
Oh, yeah. It's the Batmobile that does it. That's right.
Instead of quickly coming and like helping him,
right,
the Batmobile goes to try to fucking kill her first, and then it circles back. It's like, yeah, here's a gas mask, Batman. Thanks.
The Christine. That thing is a bloodthirsty car.
It is.
Or James Brolin's the car, actually.
The car. Nice.
He's an idiot. I'm sorry. But like every time you go to Poison Ivy, I would just have the gas mask on.
Yeah,
I know what's gonna happen.
Yep, that's her every time.
You've got gas, you don't have to do that for Two-Face. I mean, like, you should probably still have the gas mask on you for Two-Face.
Yeah,
but like, you're dealing with Poison Ivy. Gas masks first,
absolutely.
And you want it on the belt for Joker, but he's not always doing it.
No, there are some great Poison Ivy episodes. The one with her where she does date where she does date Harvey Dent is a really good one before he becomes Two-Face.
Yep.
There's the one where Alfred goes to this old age clinic and like all these people get fucked up eating these really good looking green biscuits.
Yeah. Yes.
And then there's the one where she has this weird fucking family that are plant people and like she's like
it's
very Texas Chainsaw. And
the grandma, get the exploding pumpkins.
The Venus flytrap, right? The big flytrap. And from the video game too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The video game is great, by the way.
It is fantastic.
When I started subscribing to DC Universe, the first thing I did was I went to this immediately.
Of course.
And it has the HD Blu-ray transfers on it.
Oh, nice.
And I just started at the beginning and started going. And it's fucking great because I do love how there are several episodes of this show where Harvey Dent's just there.
Yes.
And like down to eventually he becomes Two-Face in like a great two-parter.
Oh, that two-part is a fucking killer.
But like it's allowed to develop a little bit, which I think is fairly rare for a cartoon of the time.
And they're building a world too. I mean, like I love the aesthetics on the show. Like it has actual aesthetics where it's like the noir stuff here and like everyone's wearing hats and suits and like
so many hats.
I love so we kind of go, that's her thing. That's her almost Gotham story.
There's a great thing, Gotham's start. There's a great line where there's two things. They're talking about like Does anybody know who he is or whatever? Yeah. And Killer Croc is peddling this robot theory, which is fucking great. And then there's also a thing.
Well, Hamill has a great line. Like, not the robot theory.
Yes, that's yes, that's what it is. Yeah, and it's just, I'm imagining all these times like stupid Killer Croc tried to like pitch that.
Mm-hmm.
But then also when Poison Ivy comes in, she has some words with Two-Face.
Yeah,
and she says, "We used to date." To which, simultaneously, the Joker and Penguin both go, oh, which is fucking awesome.
It is like kind of like, I'm putting an Andrew right now, our favorite parts of Star Trek The Next Generation is when they're sitting around playing poker together. Like,
yes.
I could just, I don't even need the cutaways. Like, let's just watch them play poker.
Just hanging out. I don't need the red alert to go off. Just let them sit in their quarters and talk about shit.
Well, if we're going to do the dead of night thing, we have to do it all the way through.
So that's her story. Then we cut to Two-Face, who's got, he's stealing $2 million from the Second National Bank.
$2 million in $2 bills. You know what, really? Two-Face? You don't have to be that on brand.
Hey, Two-Face, $100. No, I don't need it. What if I give you two $100 bills? Ooh, I like that.
You know, boss, there's a much bigger score on the other side of town. They just don't have 2 cent pieces or 2 cent dollars.
Fuck off.
But it's more money, boss.
Fuck off.
That's, you know what? I'm joining the Penguin. Fuck you.
And this is a very, like, James Bond. Like, he's got Batman tied arms and legs to this giant penny. And his legs are fucking splayed out.
And he's going to launch it into the air, and it's like, heads or whatever, like, you're crushed to death. And then tails is like, you're paralyzed for life.
Yep.
I'm like, wow. Because I thought, I haven't seen this cartoon that much. And sure. I was like, shit, okay, one side he dies, the other he lives is what I thought. But no, I love the paralyzed angle. Big fan of the paralyzed angle.
Also, this contraption, this fucking, like, he's going to drop this rock or whatever it is, and it's going to, like, catapult him.
Yeah, catapult.
It's
That's
so
it.
Great.
Round the horn, whose henchman would you be if you got a choice? And you could include other ones as well.
I would probably pick the Penguin.
Okay.
Because you're hanging out in like cool temperatures. Mm-hmm. He's a little more sophisticated. So like the Penguin wouldn't mind if you were hanging around the hideout, like reading the New Yorker.
Question, do you have to dress up or is he providing you with a good suit?
Oh.
Because that could get expensive.
Yeah, BYO outfit. But that's the thing. He would be very demanding about the wardrobe.
Exactly.
He'd just be hanging out in sweatpants.
It's got to be black tie.
I think I would be a Joker guy because I'm one of the rare people that actually looks okay in purple.
Okay.
And I think we would get along, you know? I think there's a certain like, crazy energy we both have.
Uh-huh.
I'll go with Killer Croc because I know I could outwit him eventually and take over for him.
Plus, you don't mind living in the sewer.
Yes. Yeah.
Cabin loves the sewer.
I will say that the one I would never is the Riddler because he's got fucking jokes all the day long.
Yeah, yep. I thought you just stole my answer. My answer was going to be the Riddler, like for
really?
Sure. You know what? He seems the least likely to kill you. Like Two-Face, he flips a coin, you're dead.
Right.
Killer Croc, he might get hungry. The Joker. Who knows?
That's fine.
But he is talking your ear off.
It's also, you're doing suicide by Joker in that scenario,
yeah,
Derek.
Which is all right.
I had that thought the second he said Joker. I was like, I know where this guy's going. Fucking suicide down.
I look good in purple. Mm-hmm. I could be dead in purple. It's fine.
I don't mind getting my throat cut.
I feel like Poison Ivy was like, yeah, no dudes. Thanks. Bye.
No dudes. And also, I would not hang with Catwoman because I would just be sneezing all the time. Or with the allergies to cats.
And nobody wants to work for the ventriloquist.
Oh, God. That just creeps me out.
Or
dude.
Like the Eggman, that guy stinks. The Mad Hatter, also annoying at work.
And God, the amount of coats you'd have to buy to work for Mr. Freeze.
And also, yeah, I wouldn't work for the Mad Hatter because I don't like pedophiles. Like, kid touchers can keep it.
Good point. You just stay back at the hideout and organize all these VHS tapes?
In this cartoon, is he touching kids?
No, but he does like mind control this like woman to dress like Alice, and it gets there.
It's weird.
And somebody had fun animating that. So
we love how this episode starts with the Mad Hatter has just been arrested. By the way,
he went down the kiddie porn dungeon.
Yeah, I was like, oh fuck, sweet, won't have to deal with him in this episode.
Batman escapes this penny. He does this cool thing.
Well, he escapes the penny because it's like Two-Face is like, wait, where's my quarter that I flip? And then Batman's fucking cutting ropes with a quarter. I'm like, what is going on?
It's a jagged quarter.
Yeah,
sort of.
Scratched
all right, but Come on.
He put it on a train track once. What?
So, yeah, he escapes the penny, he flips, and then apparently Two-Face lets him keep the penny. Is this the penny in the fucking...
I think so. Yeah, that's the, that's the fucking gag.
What is this, dungeon? What is it? Batcave.
Dungeon.
But isn't that penny... Is that penny only in the... No, it's in the Adam West show, too.
It's in the, I mean, it's a mainstay of the comics. Like, this is just...
But it's from Two-Face at some point, or
I
maybe?
I actually don't know. No, it's...
This
knows?
Was the only time I ever heard of its origin story.
Yeah,
I want to know how that fucking Tyrannosaurus Rex got
I would
there.
Love to know how that Tyrannosaurus Rex got there. You know, is it actually a Tyrannosaurus Rex that he just embalmed?
I think it's a thing where he there was some big heist at a mini golf course.
You know what? I'm okay not knowing.
Oh, also that giant penny crushes two henchmen to death.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Great, the specter of grim death is around every corner in this cartoon.
I would be, if I was the Joker, like, well, Harv, do you have a story that doesn't involve you being foiled by your own quarter? Like, well,
now that you mention it, no.
Killer Croc's got a great one because he just says, I threw a rock at him once.
Yeah, it was a big rock.
That literally, I've been watching this episode for 20 years. I laugh out loud every time.
Oh, absolutely. I did last night. It was great. I laughed. My wife was asleep. I laughed way too loud.
It's just a good bit of comic timing. We get to the penguin. He's in an aviary of doom. We're having a lot of fun with that.
Yes.
He's Paul Williams, who's been in some stuff.
Phantom of the Paradise.
Yeah, totally. He's also like a musician. Yeah.
And the voice is great. And they also, like, they kind of split the difference here because, like, this came out right when Returns was about to come out. The show started in 91, I want to say.
Yeah, okay.
Like,
yeah.
Right around, I remember very clearly when this came out, it was about to come out. And they were like, yeah, so that's what you're doing, Tim, with the penguin. What if it's just like, all right, I like the nose. The nose is fine. The hands are okay.
Yeah.
But no slime.
Is it okay if ours has blood going to his face? Because yours just looks like a chalk outline.
Yeah, that's. I appreciate that the penguin in this cartoon is flesh-colored and not a corpse.
He's kind of got some, like, Earthquake the Wrestler hair, though. Some dangly mullet going on there.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
He's got a crazy idea to spray Batman with a bunch of nectar, and then all these, like, hummingbirds with poisoned beaks are after him.
Man,
dogs with bees in their mouths, and when they bite you, they get stung.
Exactly.
You're the way you kill this person does not have to be like jazz. It doesn't have to be like one goes into the other and knows their fucking rhythm. No.
But a gun, dude.
Well, but then there's a gigantic bird also after him after he's now subdued the
hummingbirds,
which
he turns on a sprinkler.
Yes, yes, yes. And then to get away from this big bird, he stabs a bigger bird with a little bird.
Yep.
So he's stabbing this thing with the bird with the fucking hummingbird. It's crazy.
That always makes me feel like, ah, dude, that's a little
Yeah. What? It's like killing a rooster with a chick.
So that's when Batman invented the turducken.
There's also a great thing here. It happens very rarely in the show, but it comes up from time to time. Batman totally gets fucking cut by this huge bird, and you can see, like, he's bleeding.
Yeah, it's something.
Big scratch marks on this thing.
Penguin's there to steal breeding sparrows or fucking weird ass thing?
Breeding condors or
breeding
something?
What the hell? What?
I like the eggs.
I'm sorry, but I like to watch birds fuck.
Plus, you know, I'm a big fan of exotic omelets.
Sorry. Look, Two-Face. It's two birds fucking. Isn't that better? It's two. The birds fucking.
Two birds, one penguin boner.
I just want a Russian Ark type movie of seeing what his fucking house looks like.
Oh, man.
Because it's madness. It's like the fucking Three Men and a Little Baby fucking apartment. Writ large.
Just really quickly, Kevin Conroy is awesome. I mean,
absolutely.
Like, there's nothing better than him doing the Batman voice. And we don't get in this, but he does a really good, like, I'm Bruce Wayne, I'm a snob.
Yes,
and
then he gets very nasally. It's fucking sweet. There's a great thing where, like, the rest of the criminals don't understand what an aviary is. And there's a great penguin line where he goes, there he was in my big bird house.
I got another great Hamill. I was like, smaller words, please. We're losing Crocs.
That's awesome.
Have you ever watched a video of Hamill do the Joker? It's like you see he goes into a different place.
I refuse.
Yeah, I think I have.
Yeah, I refuse to watch it, though.
Yeah.
Because I don't want that
magic
ruined for me. It was like one time Frank Oz came to the Burns and did a Q&A after that wretched Death at a Funeral remake that he directed.
Yeah.
Really bad. But some fucking nerd loser in the audience raised his hand and was like, "Can you do Miss Piggy?"
No, my God.
And he said no. And the microphone got taken away and the kid yelled, "What about Yoda?" And he was like, "No, and I'll tell you why. If I do this in front of you right now, the world of those characters is shattered for you and everybody else in this room, and I'll never do that." And
dude, I saw the prequels. Yoda is lost to me.
But I appreciated that. Yeah. And Hamill said something similar, how he doesn't like doing it in public on an episode of Fat Man on Batman.
Oh, okay.
Which you haven't listened to that two-part of Kevin Smith talking to Mark Hamill. It's amazing. But Hamill says the same thing, where he's like, "I don't like doing it in public because he says to Kevin Smith, like, "I'll do it in front of you right now because it's a podcast."
Yeah.
But he's like, "I don't like doing it because it'll ruin the illusion of the character," which I totally respect.
All those little kids, you know, they want to believe that that's Joker really talking to them, and they love him, and they just need to believe in Joker.
That he's going to kill them eventually.
He's going to slaughter the entire world. It's absolutely fine. It's good. You got to believe.
So he subdues the Penguin, whatever. Then we do the big one is obviously the Joker. Right. It's his turn. And
the Joker is, I guess, what, commandeered a television network?
Late
Night Gotham Live, which is a good name for a show. Gotham Live, sure.
The Joker does say something, though, about, like, you know, the entire country was tuned into the show.
Oh, okay.
Or something like that. And I was like, entire country?
And then he puts Batman in the hot seat, not an interview, an electric chair.
Oh, yeah.
It's after he does 5 minutes on Kuwait.
Oh, those oil fields are just on fire.
Hey-o! No new taxes. Do you hear about this Grover Norquist guy? Wow, we bombed Baghdad worse than I bombed last Friday at Zany's.
Yeah, so it's awesome. He's got Batman strapped to this electric chair.
A laugh-powered electric chair. Very important.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Again, you have to stay on brand. It's not like, I'm going to just electrocute. I think electrocuting Batman on live television in a comedy show,
that's it.
Pretty great.
You can laugh at it.
Yeah, well,
that's good enough for me.
But there's a chilling thing where he has laughing gas throughout the what do you call it, the theater.
Yeah.
And everyone is like laughing no matter what.
Well, this was the fatal mistake of the Joker, though. That was the plan. But then he didn't talk to his booker for the late night show that night.
Oh, really?
Right? So then he had to be like, "All right, here it comes." He goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a very funny young man, Mr. Pauly Shore." And the plan blew up in his face and nobody laughed.
And now the Breeders. I want to apologize to Jack Hanna. We didn't have time for him tonight. We invite Jack tomorrow.
I just love the idea that Batman is guesting on the show. It's fucking
hilarious. Have fun with a baby gator backstage. Yeah, it was hilarious. We'll put it online.
I like this world where Jack Hanna's getting bumped.
I do love also, he does this joke. He's like, "Well, how's Robin?" And he doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the real thing is like, "You fucking that kid, or now that you're tied up on national television, one question, Batman, you fucking that kid or what? I think you and the Mad Hatter have a lot more in common than you realize."
We do get Harley Quinn in this episode. Paul Dini famously created Harley Quinn. And, you know, I forget.
Was it in comics or was she created on the show?
She was created for the show.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And I mean, there's like nothing but great Joker episodes.
Yeah.
And she was just created as a sidekick, as a foil. Like they wanted sort of a whatever, like a just somebody that else to do. And then like she blew up from this thing.
It's someone to talk to for the Joker.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can't have like Zippo and Bippo his henchmen. Like you get those guys.
Right.
But what are you getting out of Zippo and Bippo?
So yeah, Catwoman interferes.
Adrian Barbeau, by the way. The Fog's Adrian Barbeau.
That's so crazy. You're totally right.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, Catwoman interferes. There's a big to-do. I don't entirely remember what's going on here. How she frees Batman.
She frees Batman, like basically. Oh, there's
a lot of whipping.
There's a lot of whipping.
Well, it's Catwoman.
Batman gets free, but Catwoman gets
captured. Oh, you know what happens is fucking Joker is roasting wieners over his burning body from this electric chair, and then he gets like kicked or something by Catwoman. and he drops it, and then Batman uses the wiener fork to pick the lock while being electrocuted. I don't know if this is possible, and he gets out.
It's not possible for any other human being, but Batman will make an exception. Physics will make an exception.
Well, Batman's built like a brick fucking shithouse in this show, man.
I love the way they draw him, dude. It's the fucking, it's not even barrel-chested, it's tank-chested.
And he's got like no waist whatsoever.
No, it's great.
It's like a size 31 in jeans.
He's impossible to buy shirts for, though. Jeans, easy peasy.
He skips leg day a lot. Catwoman, and this is when the Joker kind of reveals, like, well, by the way, Catwoman is going to get murdered. I'm going to turn that bitch into cat food.
Right, yeah.
And it's just like, I'm going to send Batman a fucking bag of cat food, which is his ex-girlfriend. Eat shit. Cartoon, and you're like a 10-year-old kid. Like, what's she gonna do? Wait, watch.
He's gonna turn him with a spell.
No spells here, friend.
This is when Batman reveals himself. Joker drops like, oh, it's at the something something kitty factory or whatever the fuck.
Oh, right.
And Batman stands up, and you don't know if he's like, is it makeup? Is it a mask? Like, what is this thing?
Because he's Killer Croc, and I think what happened is he killed Killer Croc and skinned him and put his body on.
Oh, that makes sense.
Well, the bigger question is, do you put your Batman outfit underneath your Killer Croc outfit?
He never takes it off. It's a weird thing, though, where like it's Killer Croc and then like a lamp gets pushed, and when he goes into silhouette, it turns into Batman.
Yeah.
And then the light swings back the other way and it's just Killer Croc again. And I was like, I get it, cartoon. I could tell from the voice that it's Batman, dude.
Take off 3 days after this Batman and use it all to shower. Because whatever, two layers of that shit.
It's disgusting. But this is one of the greatest sting operations of all time. Everybody in the Gotham PD is like around them here.
You get Gordon in there too. But it's so funny. Like, that's why you don't go play poker in public. Like, go to go to wherever the fucking Penguin is hanging out, like whatever fucking igloo factory he's in, or whatever, or, you know, Poison Ivy's fucking greenhouse next time, like, you know.
Yeah. So the day is, well, what a mass arrest. This is a great day for the Gotham Police Department.
And this sort of coda is Batman comes to save Catwoman, who's about to get turned into a bunch of cat food by Harley Quinn.
She's like strapped to a conveyor belt or something.
Yeah, and she's like, you know, it'll be nice for you. You get to feed all these hungry cats. Like, man, this is fucking messed up. Dude, this is messed up.
Of course, though, the day is saved.
Yes, and then, what you call it there? It's always that thing that was like, is Batman going to punch Harley Quinn? He does, and he shoves her.
Yeah.
Because it cuts away, and you hear a thwop.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Listen, man, you put face paint on, and you're trying to do crimes. Come on.
Rules are rules. But on the rooftop there.
Great exchange.
Catwoman makes a pass at Batman. She's like, you know, we're making a good team. And he's like, yeah, I guess we do. And she's like, yeah, you know, maybe we can do this one day without the mask. He's like, maybe we will. And she turns around. And then she goes and lean in for a smooch, but he's gone. And she says, almost got him.
Fucking
almost got him in the sack. Yeah. That's the story I want to hear.
Almost got that cock.
It's fucking great writing, though, man.
And he yells it from the line when he's, you know, swinging down. It's hard to take it out from here.
Plus, think about all the sweat.
Oh, yeah, you gotta shower. You can't be fucking getting down.
Lowering that belt in front of Catwoman, while your nemesis? No.
Yeah, and also, you gotta take those gloves off with the fucking claw hands. Those are first gone.
Yeah, those gotta go. Unless you're into that.
I mean, maybe, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Those gotta go. I don't think anybody's into cutting dicks.
This isn't the Tim Burton movie, so no.
And Batman swings away. The fucking awesome theme song kicks in. This is a show where I will always watch the opening and closing credits in their entirety.
Oh, the opening credits are phenomenal.
The animation there is great, too. But even just watching the credits of the closing, just because that music is so awesome.
The opening credits were made as kind of a preview movie to sell the show. They're like, we want to do a Batman show. Like, yeah, great. You know, superhero, power hour. Like, no.
Yeah.
It's this. And that's what they showed. And
what
a
fucking great test reel, though.
With the Danny Elfman score, which is fantastic.
It's the best.
See our episode on Batman coming up to hear more about that for sure.
Absolutely. That's unfortunately the... I mean, maybe
it's
someday...
It's a tight 22 minutes of television, man.
Maybe someday, dude, just a fucking Batman TAS show.
You didn't get the fucking Mr. Freeze episode, which is fantastic.
Also, the second episode of the entire series, which is like the Joker at Christmas. It's the first ever Joker appearance. Yeah. A lot of people guess that just because 'tis the season. It's another great episode. And who knows, you know, maybe someday.
Maybe someday indeed.
So, of course, I'm pretty certain no one was embarrassed watching this.
Well, I hope not, Eric Siska.
No, you know, I wasn't, because there's enough cool stuff about it. So, I mean, I'm curious to see the maybe not all of it, but other episodes.
They're not all perfect. A lot of them don't hold. Some of them do get a little too kiddie because, you know, you got to sell it. You got to sell that
shit. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
The ventriloquist does show up. So, you know, you can just.
As the show went on, like that kind of dreaded fourth season where they changed the name of the show and shit. That's
What did they change the name?
It's like the
Batman and Batman and Robin Adventures, I think it's called.
I think it's the Adventures of Batman.
Yes, one of those. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The word Adventures is in there.
Disgusting.
And it's like, it kind of keeps the same tone, but like the animation's a little cheerier, and it doesn't work. I kind of think that's possibly why that's not on the DC Universe. They're like,
oh, is it not?
No. As far as I can see, it's just, it's two seasons of like, whatever, like 40 episodes.
What about
your Blu-rays? Does that have the Adventures on it?
I don't think so.
Maybe it does.
I've just been doing it from
because for the whole series, it should have the last. And there are a lot of good episodes in that batch.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, they introduce like Nightwing in there and shit.
Which is
so
fun.
There's, you know, it's fine.
I didn't go back to this quite a bit. I think that all of this and the Superman show are both fantastic.
I'm totally mostly ignorant to that Superman show.
Eric's boyfriend's on it, Tim Daly. He's fantastic.
Oh yeah, I had a job in the summer of 2005 driving Tim Daly, yes, the actor from Wings, around Poughkeepsie, New York.
Wow, dude, just living the life.
Living the life, man. It was funny. Once I took him back to his hotel, and in the hotel lobby, they were playing. That movie Basic with John Travolta.
Yeah.
And it was a scene he was in.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Did he see it?
Yeah. He gave me like a look, like a side eye look.
He's like, this movie's terrible.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's like, get out of here while you still can, kid.
Do you remember when our mutual friend fucking forced us to sit and watch Basic because he swore it was a good movie?
I never saw this movie.
I remember Adam and Steve specifically.
I was going to say, I remember that story, but I wasn't there.
I wasn't there either, no.
Oh, you weren't?
I was not there.
You got out.
It was you and friend of the show, Justin J. Hicks.
Yes, mm-hmm.
That's a story for another day. That has been Animation Damnation for the month of December. Thank you so much for continuing to support our Patreon endeavor. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.